start a journey, not a fad. Kick off your fitness journey with up to $500 off Peloton Bike, Bike Plus, or Tread packages. Choose the package that will take your training to the next level with accessories like our cycling shoes, heart rate band, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. Join now and you'll see why 92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later. All access membership separate. Offer ends January 8th, 2023. Excludes Bike, Bike Plus, and Tread Basics. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
The last economic reset occurred in 1944 with the creation of the Bretton Woods system. The U.S. dollar replaced the pound sterling as the new world reserve currency and was convertible to gold at a fixed rate of $35 an ounce. Nations of the world entrusted the Federal Reserve Bank to hold their gold in return for market liquidity. This trust was good up until President de Gaulle of France pointed out that the United States was printing more money than they had in gold reserves to pay for the war in Vietnam. And in 1971, sent a warship to New York demanding their gold back. Days later, President Nixon took the world off the gold standard altogether, allowing the war machine to print endless amounts of U.S. dollars. In 1974, the United States offers use of its war machine to Saudi Arabia in return for their oil to be sold exclusively with U.S. dollars. This becomes known as the petrodollar and ushers in a new era of endless warfare. Andy Schechtman of Miles Franklin has been trading precious metals for over 30 years and lays out the evidence that the world is going back to a gold standard. In 2017, Germany's Bundesbank made headlines when they demanded the return of their physical gold by 2020. Within weeks, the Bank of Austria, the Bank of Hungary, the Bank of Turkey, the Czech National Bank, and the Bank of Poland all quietly began repatriating their gold as well and began buying more. These banks bought more in 2018 than they had bought in the last 60 years combined, and they doubled that the next year. In 2019, the Bank for International Settlements classifies gold as a Tier 1 reserve, rivaling the U.S. dollar for the first time in 80 years. In 2020, the International Monetary Fund publicly announces a shift towards a new system to replace Bretton Woods. Also that year, a new major buyer suddenly appears, anonymously labeled as Other, and begins draining the COMEX and London Metals Exchange of precious metals to an extent never seen before. In August of 2021, Saudi Arabia signs a military cooperation agreement with Russia, directly challenging the U.S. petrodollar agreement. This is immediately followed by the U.S. military's abrupt departure from Afghanistan. In 2022, Russian banks were removed from the SWIFT system. This weaponization of the banking system inspired a massive sell-off of U.S. treasuries. As Russia and China announce a new commodity-backed world reserve currency, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and Iran begin selling oil to China for bonds that are immediately convertible to gold. BRICS membership is now nearing 90% of the world population, and all these countries are dramatically expanding their gold reserves. China's Belt and Road Initiative is moving towards connecting nearly three-quarters of the world population into its centralized system with the digital Chinese yuan. And the U.S. government is left holding a bill they can't pay and a war machine they can't afford. The U.S. Mint is making it difficult for citizens to buy gold and silver, as if they want everyone at their mercy when it all goes to zero. Their only solution seems to be total control. This is at least one of the reasons why Elon's Twitter files are spread out like a Netflix series, to keep Americans busy while their entire life savings are swiftly turned to zero. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, we are back. And you notice something about what's been happening lately with that. You used to go to all your gun shows, your auctions out there, that we would go to. You would always have people there selling silver and gold. There'd always be.
Exactly.
Not anymore. Not anymore. It's hard to find out there now. You can buy it through the big companies that advertise, but boy, have you noticed the price is going up. Now, listen, it's not the price because silver is running about $24, about 24 and a half an ounce, okay?
What is gold trading at, Ross?
Gold's about 1800, and the last I looked, it was about 1800, and I think three.
Now, I know going back to probably 20 years, that what the international bankers wanted was they wanted a 16-to-1 spread between silver and gold. That's been that way for like a couple 300 years, and I don't know what it is now. But to me, like, that's what I always look at, is that ratio. If it's not right, they're going to correct it.
Well, what's happening? If they go back to the gold, well, silver is used in. There's a silver shortage right now, and that's used in war machines, okay?
Oh, yeah, and industrially and all that, yeah.
And a lot of it's used, too, in these solar panels and things. Yeah. But, you see, what I'm telling you is this, that the price on the market that's going up is not in line with what the dealers are selling now. The dealers are selling it for much higher
much
price.
Much higher, yeah. Right, the margin's higher.
Yeah. Right, and so both gold and silver.
Yeah.
And so... Anyhow, we have another clip about the prison system. You want to go ahead and play that other clip?
Aman Jabi has worked in Silicon Valley for 28 years. His background includes work on deep technologies that are involved in the new digital prison system being designed by big tech. In 2020, he moved to Montana and became a whistleblower, warning the public of the very real threat about to be unleashed upon us all, known by many as the Mark of the Beast system. Aman explains how accepting the digital ID is the basic premise behind it all.
So by default, a digital identity implies that you are always in a digital prison. Since you have a digital identity and you're in a prison, you are by default a criminal. So we don't trust you.
Just like the old system, this new one is also voluntary, and you are supposed to know that it's a digital prison that you are voluntarily signing up for. And the reason for this is because in this new system, having a digital ID will be proof that you are a criminal. Because having a digital ID means that you are in a digital prison, and because you accepted it, you must be a criminal. Because of this, there is a new protocol being introduced with this system, known as Zero Trust.
How is Zero Trust going to be used? Here's a lady, she wants to go and buy some beef. But let's say her carbon footprint or her beef footprint for the month has been exceeded. That door won't open.
This digital prison is sneaking up on us all. There is no need for an implanted chip because everything is being done with facial recognition, which is already plugged into the entire system. America already has more cameras per capita than communist China, and our social credit score is already being logged. All we need at this point is a series of events that lead us all into having to make the choice of either accepting the new digital ID or saying no. Since the COVID lockdowns, new state-of-the-art LED lights have been replacing streetlights in cities throughout the West. Aman explains that this is all part of the plan. These lights will be connected to everything, including your phone and your car. And in new cars, that includes 16 different cameras with LiDAR and sonar. These lights are being outfitted with LED incapacitators, which is a light technology that was first announced 15 years ago, back when it caused enough brain damage to make a person sick.
Another strange weapon in the final stages of development is able to mount an all-out barrage on the optic nerve.
The LED incapacitator was developed under the auspices of the Department of Homeland Security for the purposes of creating what we call a non-lethal defense system. And this technology consists of a bright set of LED technology, light-emitting diodes, that is designed to create sort of temporary blindness, meaning temporary ability to not be able to see the person who we're trying to protect.
If aggressors caught in its bright pulsating glare don't shield their eyes or turn away quick enough, temporary blindness isn't the only effect they'll feel.
The first time I saw the LED, I was in a darkened room, and within 3 or 4 seconds, I had reached forward and grabbed a hold of a lab bench because I was feeling a little bit dizzy or disoriented.
The device's combination of different colors and random flashes can induce psychophysical effects, including vertigo and possible nausea. It's been nicknamed the puke light.
It's been 15 years, and our Silicon Valley whistleblower believes that this technology is now capable of killing people. Ultimately, we can say no to this.
But if there's a critical mass that doesn't sign on to the digital ID, then this agenda gets weakened substantially.
But we will have to first unify and come together.
Alrighty, you know, boy, unify and come together. That's that is. I don't know if that can happen again before the Lord returns. With God, all things are possible, and often what does bring people together, like 9/11, even though 9/11 was not what it was supposed to be at all, but it did unite the country. And here we are divided by so much, okay? And there's so much evil out there today. Should we let someone who was elected by cheating and fraud stay in office? Guess who asked that question? It was President Trump, the legitimate president, the real president of the United States. And he's talking about, we've learned over the past few weeks with the conclusive evidence that the FBI and the Twitter concluded to hide the many crimes and perverted. We knew this. We've been talking about this for a couple of years. And perverted the relationship with Hunter Biden's laptop before the 2020 election. Here. Last night, Jesse Waters shared the thoughts with the big tech and FBI conclusion on Fox News. If we've learned anything, is the government's no longer in it for the little guy. They're in it for themselves, and it's been the works for years. Well, we've known that for years, and we've told people that for years. President Trump's response to Jesse Waters' monologue about the deep state agreeing that the FBI and Twitter did collude to elect Joe Biden. And again, he was inserted. He wasn't elected. He did not win the election. He did not have the most amount of votes. That's a lie told by liars. That's a lie told by liars.
Yes.
And, you have to be a complete fool. You have to be a complete fool to take a look. When President Trump is drawing crowds of 65,000-70,000 people.
Well, he had a 90,000-mile truck.
Train.
Yes. And think about that. In automobiles and trucks, he had, it was 90 miles.
When we went through on our Trump train through Middlefield, Ohio, country, the Amish were lined up in their buggies and holding up Trump signs. That shows you now, again, and what did Joe Biden? Joe Biden was drawing crowds of 10, 12 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Folks, again, you have to be a complete now. If there's any of you at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, that are NPR, that would have the courage, even a little bit of courage, and this goes to Bret Baier too, especially. You know what? I'm finished with Hannity too. I'm finished with Hannity after what he recently said. So, in other words, under oath, he said. He never believed at all that there was election fraud or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm finished with Hannity. Yes. He's gone. He's up. But anyhow, here, folks, just it's amazing, absolutely amazing out there that they're still putting this up. And
well, what about the 51 guys that signed the letter about the laptop and said that it was just bogus?
Those are 51 dirty, very dirty, corrupt. They're 51 Democrats.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. To us, lying and see, you would never get any one of those 51 on this radio program. You would never get them here. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they're going to get them under oath, where they have to tell the truth. They have to tell the truth, which to them is totally foreign. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But those are 51 dirty cops. That's mm-hmm. who they are. Okay. And just like that bunch, that so-called election panel there, and you've never seen every one of those people, and there are hardcore communists. Okay, that's reality. The program before tonight on here, Paul Schiffer's the Schiffer Report, he nailed them. I mean, he nailed each and every one of them out there. He gave you their background. All communists to the bone.
Yep.
All Antichrist communists to the bone. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some articles, and then we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls.
Okay.
In between articles, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, you have an article you want to do?
Sure, I do. House Judiciary.
Wait a minute, I got to open the phone lines. Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Now.
House Judiciary Republicans expose coordination between the White House and media and shows how scared are you. The Biden administration is already playing games with requests from the new GOP-led House Judiciary Committee. Lawyers for Joe Biden sent letters to GOP representatives James Comer and Jim Jordan telling them that they weren't planning on responding to record requests that were made by them over the past few weeks. A top lawyer for the president pledged in letters to those members that the administration would operate in good faith with them. But he also said the oversight demands made by congressional Republicans during the last Congress would have to be started over. In a respective letter to Representatives James Comer, Republican Kentucky, and Jim Jordan, Republican Ohio, White House Special Counsel Richard Stauber said that the Biden administration has no immediate plans to respond to a slew of record requests that both men made in the past several weeks. In those letters obtained exclusively by Politico, Stauber described what requests as constitutional illegitimate because both Jordan, who was expected to chair the House Judiciary Committee, and Comer, who is expected to head the Oversight Committee, made them before they had any authority to do so. And see, here they go with, now here's the little slip out. Congress has not delegated such oversight authority to individual members of Congress who are not committee chairmen, and the House has not done so under its current rules, wrote Sauber. And now to me, that's the sticky wicket. Obviously, didn't Biden say he was going to have the most transparent presidency of anybody? Now, he knows what's happening. It's like being the president-elect, so to speak. There are certain courtesies they do grant to each other. You know, but on this one, none of the courtesies are granted. And I hope that this makes them angry, and I hope they really stick it to them when they get their chairmanships and their committee membership.
Yes.
I do, too. But, you know, the bottom line is this. We're just going to make this very clear. Here's what Jordan knows. Here's what they know. They know that the Biden crime cartel, the Biden crime family, their job, okay, first of all, they know that that they're owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party.
Sure.
Two, their job is to keep the border, the gates open at the border. Now, even though we're watching thousands and millions of people go through there, they're still telling you that what you're seeing, you're not seeing, okay? And we've got NBC, ABC, and CBS, and say, you know, they're there to lie for us. They'll tell whatever lie we need them to tell. So they're going to tell you that what you're seeing, you're not seeing now. So Biden's job is to make sure that the drug cartels have access, they get enough fentanyl over here to do their jobs, okay? That the human smugglers, that the little children, that they keep a big supply of little children going in for Biden's fellow pedophiles. That's their job out there. And that's what Jordan knows. And that's what Gomer knows. And that's what Matt Gaetz knows. And that's what they're going to try
to
prove.
And you're forgetting the biggest thing of all. You know what else we know? That Biden still has never gone to the border.
Mm-hmm.
He has never been down there.
If he goes there, what are there going to be cameras all over? And what's he going
to
do?
He went to St. Croix the other day.
Uh-huh.
They went on vacation the other day.
Yes.
But he still hadn't been to the border.
Yeah.
And not in his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
I could just see what he squint his eyes and say, look at all those Republicans coming over, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's take Global John. You're in the air. Hello, John. You're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ernie, I just got out of the hospital.
and I thought I was having a heart attack. But in the end, it wasn't.
Well, that's good. Praise the Lord for that.
I know you told me not to take the shot, but I've had all four shots, and I had Fluzone, too. And I will tell you this, that when you get to the hospital, the first thing they ask you is, did you have the shots? Did you have Fluzone? And, they did, you know, heart test on me, and it wasn't my heart. It was, really high, white blood cell counts. I don't know what that exactly does. They said it was you were fighting an infection, but right. I know a lot of you have been sick too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of viewers. But here's the problem with these shots: they change your DNA, and what happens
is turned me into a woman. You know,
no, that would be. But what it does, it changes your DNA. When that happens, your immune system, okay, changes what it's immune against. And so what happens is it messes you. You lose your immune system. Basically, you lose your immune system. And so anyhow, I'm just, hope you don't have any other further complications, but...
I hope not, too, and I'm glad, I said to Lisa, I'm glad you people are feeling better, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the one that called to church today.
Our church got hit pretty hard, but all of them did. I mean, the entire, not just our county, the entire state got hit hard.
Yes.
I will tell you this, between the three things that are going around, emergency was, they didn't have enough beds. They just have you sit outside and try and diagnose you. And then I saw people, waiting 10, 11 hours for a bed. And
that falls right in line with the article I read tonight.
Yes,
a lot of kids really sick.
Yeah,
with this RSV, with running like temperatures of 104, I really felt sorry for them.
All right, I have to move on, John. But let me tell you, a lot of these things, they're made in a laboratory, and that's all a part of the depopulation program.
Well, I worked in a laboratory, Ernie, so...
Well, then you know. But I have to move on, so thanks, and have a happy, happy New Year. All righty. Little Lisa, you've got an article very quickly.
Okay. A pro-abortion woman has been charged with battery after throwing a cup of coffee on a pro-life protester outside a new abortion clinic in Illinois. And she also tried to knock the cell phone out of the woman's hand. Quote, it's unfortunate that a pro-lifer was attacked, Rockford Family Initiative president told the station, but we understand that when you stand up and defend life, things like this may happen. But despite the violence, he said that they will not be stopping and will continue to stand outside and urge mothers to consider other options. The only intention of this business is to end human life.
Yeah, most pro-lifers are real Christians. That's why they're out there doing that. They're the real thing, and that's what real Christians do. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're in the air. Hey, Ken.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good. I don't know if you heard my message last week. I said that my wife didn't have to go back to work at MGH. She didn't have to take the shot. You guys were praying for us.
Say that again, because I couldn't barely hear you.
Sorry. Last week I called in and left a message with the donation guy. They weren't taking any calls, and you guys have been praying for my wife. at MGH, they were forcing her to take the shot and bumped her out before her maternity and were trying to fire her. And she didn't have to go back to work because, like, a few weeks before, God provided me with a big raise at work, so she's able to stay home with the baby. And
well, very good. Praise the good Lord.
She didn't have to take the shot after all the fighting. So.
Yeah, well, you didn't want to take that for any reason, but thank you. Thanks the good Lord, huh?
Yeah, amen. I had a question about something I saw in World News Daily a few days ago. Did you see the article about the obituary of the GOP?
You know what? I did see something, an article like that. I don't know if I have it, but go ahead and tell me about it.
So it was about Trump holding a LGBT party the day they signed that marriage act a few weeks ago in December. And he had a big party at Mar-a-Lago. It just makes me say, oh, so this is who we're all fighting for.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I have to take a look at that. I know this.
But, I mean, I looked it up on Google. It happened, and he invited Kerry Lake, and it happened. It's like 20 articles on Google. So.
It was an LGBTQ party, huh?
Yeah, he had a big party to celebrate the Defense of Marriage, or whatever they call this, you know, Defilement of Marriage Act that they're doing. He had a big party at Mar-a-Lago on the day they signed it.
Boy, I'm going to tell you that.
Stand with you guys.
That's going to make it very hard. He, you know, with all the good that he's done.
Exactly.
Boy, then when he did that, you know, things like that is what, you know, and he gets some really bad advice. He gets some really, really bad advice.
I don't disagree, but I mean, I get it. His hotel, I work in a hotel. There's plenty of those folks in the hotel industry. So I don't know if it's just a business thing or what, but regardless, it's kind of, you know, pretty poor Antichrist type testimony.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping he's hearing about it.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It is. Anyway. Well, thanks, Ken. Got to move on.
Thanks, y'all.
Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're in the air.
Pastor Ernie, I don't doubt what that last caller said. I don't know it to be true. I never heard of it. But I do not doubt it. But what I will say is that concerning the 2020 election, if a sitting president can lose an election and get 12 million more votes and make further inroads into the black community and so on, wherever they say the black community population is these days, because depending on who you listen to, they'll say that blacks are breeding like bunny rabbits, and then on the other hand, they're saying they're being genocided by, you know, Klan Parenthood, but yet they say that the population status is steady state, which is about 13%, which is relatively impossible. But the bottom line is this. If Joe Biden got more votes than any other presidential candidate in history.
But he got more than Obama. Did you know that? The media said he got more than Obama. I can say that, but, you know, being black also, I think that's kind of hard to believe that Joe Biden got more black votes than Obama did.
Yeah, it is hard to believe.
It's kind of hard to believe.
Well, you know, it's hard to believe he got hardly any votes after watching him campaign because he didn't campaign.
But what's scary, Ed, also, if you think about it, is that now he wants to start the primaries in the South. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
That they don't want to have the New Hampshire on New Hampshire and all them kicking off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Biden wants to do it in the South where he has the black support. And the idea is to, you know how like there'll be 9 people running. So the idea is that if he goes where there are heavy African American populations, he'll knock off all the weak ones right quick. You know, they'll never make it to New Hampshire. They'll never make it to Iowa where they have the caucuses and that sort of thing. They won't do it. I mean, it's interesting. But anyway, Ed, I don't want to steal your thunder, but that just made me remember that Biden got more black votes than Obama.
Yeah, that's amazing. All righty. Well, thanks, Ed.
Well, the bottom line is this. I mean, I'm not going to get into that African thing because I don't think there's no such thing as an African American.
I agree with you.
All righty. Uh-oh, we lost Ed? Okay.
Did we?
Yep. All right. Sorry about that. Let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Yes. Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
I want to comment on a verse that was read in your Bible study section tonight, Revelation 16, verse 15. Very interesting verse. I hope you'll see why.
Mm-hmm.
It says there, "Behold, I come as a thief." Okay?
Uh-huh.
"Blessed is he that watcheth." Now, the terrible judgments from verse 1 to 15 clearly occur in the tribulation period, which your associate there read, which is the seven-year flood of God's wrath. Yet Jesus does not come as a thief at the end of this seven-year flood, but is clearly seen as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the pre-trib rapture takes place, Jesus does come as a thief, even a grave robber, who robs the graves of the dead in Christ and those living believers who are counted worthy to escape physical death, the tribulation period, and also the law of gravity. And this is according to Luke 21, verse 36. Now, there's a tiny two-verse rapture parable in Matthew 24, verse 42 to 43. It doesn't reference death. It doesn't reference hell. And that's where Jesus makes this parallel between himself and a thief who takes from planet Earth what belongs to him. This verse 15 is a warning to people who read this chapter now before the rapture takes place.
That's exactly what it is. That's what he's telling you. This is the whole warning. In other words, he's showing us what is going to happen to the Democrats, okay? Those that all of those that refuse to receive Christ, those that are arrogant, those that are pro-abortion, those that are promoting sodomy and pedophilia. He's telling you, and then when he says that, he's making the statement, understand this, because I'm going to come as a thief. In other words, when people least expect it, you better get right with me now.
Right. It's an unusual verse in Revelation, okay? Because it's not part of the tribulation text. It's part of the time now. It's like an aside, okay? So one more thing here about this verse. Very interesting. This last phrase, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Who is he talking about here? I'm going to tell you. He's talking about those that are post-tribbers, mid-tribbers, and pre-wrathers who aren't watching for Jesus to come. They're watching for the Antichrist to show up.
Yep.
And they will walk naked and be ashamed when they are left behind after the rapture takes place.
And the Lord said he's returning for those that are looking for his return, and those are the pre-tribbers. Got to move on, but thanks. Hey, you hit the nail right on the head. We'll be back right after this.
Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh.
Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron, I'll give you silver. Your brass, I'll give you gold. Awake, America, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the
All right, let's go to Massachusetts, and Patricia, you're in the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Ernie.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing well. I'm calling your show because I have a concern. I recently went for a CAT scan, and I'm not sure if you know, like, when they do the CT CAT scans, they have to put, like, an IV in you, and they put dye in you so that they can see on the CAT scan. My concern is, are they able to put the vaccine in the dye to go in your arm? I'm just so curious about that. I have not been vaccinated, but I'm very nervous when I have to go into the hospital.
I wouldn't think they would do that, would you?
No. I'm pretty much sure that they haven't. I've had a test similar to that. I've had brain surgery. I'm a migraine sufferer, and every time I go, I always laugh and say they've given me so many of those with the hot stuff running through me that I probably glow in the dark. But anyway, the truth, okay. Truth and reality is that they don't. And if you think about it, because the two things really don't mix.
Oh, they don't.
They
okay.
don't. They really don't okay. mix, no.
Okay. That's what I was concerned about.
Yeah, the radiographic thing, stuff has an isotope in it, and that really wouldn't do the vaccine any good.
Oh, it wouldn't. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because I also heard you all talk about the nasal swab. Because I recently went into the ER like last month, and they was like really.
Well, true confession on that one, Patricia, is they can implant a nanofiber in your, I forget the name of the bone that's on the front of your skull. They all, anyway, my point is that they can, in fact, implant a nanofiber there. Now, that they can do. You know how they do the up your nose and all that?
Yeah.
Potentially, they could do that. And potentially, I have that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, like, you know, that you don't know. And if you didn't have the swab, like, the swab potentially could have been magnetic. If you could have passed it over a magnet, you could have tested it or whatever, but you didn't know. And I don't think it's something that you can necessarily be afraid of. Because I'm not one of these people that believe that, like, you know, you can't fight City Hall. You can only fight it to a certain extent. And then the octopus is, like, too big, the Hydra. Every time you cut the Hydra's head off, you get eight more. So,
right.
You know, you got to trust in the Lord to protect you.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you all.
You too, and Happy New Year.
You too.
All right, let's go out to, we're holding on to, who do we have right after Pastor Hal? Hank, keep him there and take the next guy. because Pastor Hal's going to come up and he's going to give an invitation, right? That's what he's going to do, because he does that very well. All right, what happened to the, they dropped him? Okay. All right, very good. Let's go to Pastor Hal. Are you there, Hal? What happened?
We lost him.
What's going on? Oh, they're dropping off the board. All right, we'll give you another chance. 888-677-9673. Okay, they're lighting up again. And let's see if we can. Okay, Hal, are you there?
Yeah, I was cut off, but you can hear me now?
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Hold up five fingers so we know for sure.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All righty. Yep. Well, you've got 20 minutes to give. No, only kid. But anyhow, we got a whole lot of things going on out here tonight, and we're living in very, very interesting times with what's happening out there. Now, let's just say this, because a lot of people are frightened. They're really frightened, and a lot of people are very discouraged. They're saying everywhere they turn, you're surrounded. You've got everywhere. You got Planned Parenthood. You got NARAL. You got the entire Democratic Party. You got the ACLU. You got the World Health Organization. You got the Sierra Club. You got the EPA. You got all of these, all these forces, these Antichrist forces. So what would you tell them when it comes to being afraid of all of what is around them? Are you still there?
Yeah, me?
Yeah, you're the one I'm talking to.
Okay, yeah. Well, the Bible says, spread not yourself because of the evildoers, and we've already won the victory. And I was looking in Luke, I think it's 19:27, and it says, but these my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay before me. So the final battle, the final winner is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're on his side, and we're going to win and enjoy the victory with him. So these people, the godless, the Satanists and everything, they can rant and rave and shake their fists in God's face for only a short period of time. But when the end comes, they're going to fall, and they're going to go down permanently. And they're going to lose everything that they robbed, stole, and killed for.
So Joey Biden won't be squinting his eyes and whispering in lies, will he?
No, not at all. He'll be going through the tortures of hell if you don't repent and get right.
If you could talk to Joey and Biden and Kamala Harris, if you could talk to them, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them, according to God's word, they're a bunch of miserable, dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on their road to hell. And the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So no matter how much he makes in bribes from the communist Chinese and how much they rob and steal the American public's hard-earned money for and get, it's not going to be worth it. Just that first second in hell, they're going to wish they could undo it and give it all back. But they're being blind fools right now, being led by Satan to their destruction.
Could George Soros or Bill Gates have enough money, to cover to keep Joey Biden out of hell?
No way. God laughs at their money. Their money is nothing to him.
Are they going to find that out? Are they going to have an extremely rude awakening?
Extremely.
Okay. You're absolutely right about that. It's going to be a very extremely rude awakening out there in and folks out there listening to you, don't look. God has raised us up. You're here, right? He's raised us up for such a time as this. In other words, what he's telling you is simple. Now is you've got this time. It's now or never. It's now or never. You've got between now and the time when your soul is required of you. Now, you don't know when that time is. It could be tomorrow, but you've got that time to place up crowns in heaven. And before you can place up crowns in heaven, before you can place up anything in heaven, you know, it's like going to a bank and you want to make a deposit. If you don't have an account there, it won't do you any good, right? I mean, if you walked into a bank and handed the cashier you know, a handful of cash. But if you don't have an account, the cashier's going to be happy, but you're going to be out, right? No.
Right.
Now, here. Tell them how you get the account. Tell them what they need to do so that all that you do, your good works. Remember, faith without works is dead, being alone, right?
Right.
Okay, so, but there's got to be something that's very, very required before your works will account for anything, and tell them what that is.
That's where you receive the payment that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for you on that cross. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And you can't do anything. No human effort can get you to heaven, because nothing you do is going to wash away one sin. And God hates sin so bad, he can't let even one sin into heaven. But regardless of that, God loves you so much that he offered to let his son, Jesus Christ, pay the payment, the righteous payment that had to be paid for your sins. He allowed Jesus to pay in your place on that cross in full. So when you come to God with repentance, Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And when you come to God, sorry about the fact you're a sinner, ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, he'll come in. But you got to be sincere. And, you know, there's nothing in this world worth losing your soul for, absolutely nothing. And only a fool would take anything in this world. Like I said earlier, if you could gain the whole world and lose your soul, you'd still be a fool. And the devil has a lot of fools in hell right now, and a lot on their way. And don't be one of them. Jesus told us that many are on their way to hell right now, and but only a few are going to find eternal life. And be among the few that find eternal life. And you do that by going to God's word. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. And Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you take all the world religions out there, and they're totally bankrupt as far as doing anything to get anybody to heaven. Totally bankrupt, all of them, and their religious leaders with them. Only Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, which was God's blood, in him, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, it was the very blood of God. And only the blood of God could wash away sin. Human blood can't do it, no matter who you are. And so my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. You want to get that account the pastor's talking about in heaven, you got to get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes place when you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Savior. And you can do that right now. We can say a simple prayer together, but even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Remember, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You can't add one work to get into heaven, not one work. It's when you come there and say, God, I can't save myself. My church can't save me. I need you to save me, and I need you to do it right now. So what do you say we pray? I'll lead you a few words at a time, and you can repeat after me. God's knocking at the door of your heart right now. He's asking you if you open up that door and let him come in. Dear God, please have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, and I've totally messed up my life, and I'm on my way to hell, lost and without hope right now, because with sins on my record, I don't stand a chance. But I know the Bible says you died to pay for my sins and have them washed away. And the Bible says in whom we have redemption through his blood. So God, redeem me with your blood right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell. Because I know and I believe that you died on that cross. You're the only way to be saved. You're the only person that can save me, and I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, you prayed that prayer just now, and you meant it. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And that term, believe on, meant that you personally received as your Savior. Notice it didn't say that believe about. Even the devil believes about. He believes that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But the devil didn't want you to reach out and receive that payment. He didn't want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which you just did if you sincerely prayed that prayer. Now, the devil can't get your soul. Your worst enemy can't get it. You can't lose it. You know, if I don't see people before now and then, I'll see you in heaven. God bless. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Very, very good. So what do you say? Somebody says, well, you know, I hear what you're saying. You've got your truth, and I've got my truth. And, you know, Christianity is good, and Jesus was a religious, a great leader, but he was just one of many. Like Obama said, he was a savior, but he was one of many saviors. And Oprah says that she's the source of her own salvation. She doesn't need anybody else. So what do you tell those people?
Well, first of all, Oprah and Obama and all the people like them, they can't even save themselves. I mean, they're disillusioned. It's unbelievable. But the Bible says Jesus made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and rose the dead. I'd like to see any of those clowns do that, that say that they're their own savior and that they can save other people. I mean, you know, Jesus raised the dead. Only God could do that. And, you know, he proved over and over again that he had the power of God in him and that he was God in the flesh. And none of those people ever did that.
So if we go from Genesis to Revelation, is there any source of information in existence that speaks with absolute authority and absolute certainty from the start, from creation to eternity? Is there any source of information that comes close to the Word of God when it comes to speaking with absolute knowledge, certainty, and absolute authority?
No, the Word of God is God speaking to us. We find out things from the Word of God we had never known without the Word of God. And besides all that, there was a historian by the name of Josephus that he was actually an Orthodox Jew. He wasn't even a believer, but he's been given credit for accurately reporting history without bias. And he even confirmed the things that Jesus did in reporting about what Roman leaders and everything else like that, letters they wrote back and forth, like, what are we going to do, you know, about these Christians? And Jesus did this, and Jesus did that. Even what the unbelievers thought actually confirmed what Jesus did. And so even the wrath of man confirmed that everything the Bible said to glorify Jesus and to confirm his deity was real.
All right, very good. How much time do I have?
Seconds.
Pardon? Okay. All right, very good. We're down to 1 minute there. Randy, do you agree with everything he just said?
Yes, I do, and not because he's one of my best friends in life either.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Come on. Nobody lays this plan of salvation out like Hal does.
That's right.
Okay. Nobody does it.
Right, Hal.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so
I always pray the Holy Spirit speak through me, because without God doing it, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks.
Okay, we hear you. Okay. Well, we're just about out of time for tonight out here, so folks out there, wherever you be, remember that, well, you're all going to die, and when you die, you're going to end up either in heaven or hell. You got God's word on it. You don't want to go to the latter. How much time?
Okay. Right, well, God doesn't sell fire insurance either. So,
that's right.
So visiting and doing stuff, you can't buy any fire insurance.
A whole lot of, no one ever regretted receiving eternal life.
Amen.
But boy, there's a whole lot of them that wish they had listened to.
Amen.
Okay. And there's no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Until tomorrow, good night.
Right.
God bless. And always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.